First Peter chapter 2. And I have just hit a button that zapped the whole thing. Okay. We're going to unzap it here. Technology is cool, man. I got to point all the way back here. That's all right. It's great when it works. We'll figure it out. My family and I were watching, what was that show called? Shark Tank this week. It's where these five guys, these five individuals who've made a ton of money in their life, they hear proposals about other people's, you know, supposed business they got going on, and they're going to make all this money and stuff of this nature. And so these guys see if they want to invest their time and energy. Well, this guy this last week, he came up, and you know, you could tell he was a little different, whatever. And he said, "I'm an inventor. I've invented over 1,000 things," and he started explaining his thing, which was going to create gold and all this stuff. And these guys were listening to him, and they were looking at each other saying, "Is this guy for real?" And one of the guys in the middle, he looked at him and said, "Sir, how long have you been on this earth? I mean, how long have you been on this planet? Like, you are from another world, dude. I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not going to invest in your company because I don't even have a clue what in the world you just said." And so today, the topic of our discussion here is not of this world. And it's in relation to you and I who have asked Jesus to be our Savior, that we are not of this world. We're from, shall we say, our home is in another place. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we come to His Word now. Lord, the title of this book is First Peter, and it was written by a man named Peter, but it was really written by you. These are your words. So, Lord, help us to listen to your words and help us to take what you want us to get out of this passage of Scripture. Help me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read, please, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9. And we just want to read a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy before, but now have obtained mercy." Now, here's the verse we want to concentrate on. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil against you," in other words, they speak against you as evildoers, "they may by your good works which they may behold, may they glorify God in the day of visitation." 1 Peter chapter 2, we want to focus just in brief here as this introduction in verse 11. But before we get to verse 11, let's look at the first part here, verse 9 and 10, in context. Peter says, "People, you of this church, those who have asked Jesus to be your Savior, you are a chosen generation. You were in darkness at one time, but now God, by His mercy, has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were once in darkness, you were once not a people, but now God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and now you are a people, saved by His marvelous grace and mercy." The Bible tells us a very interesting thing about this world in which we live. Remember, the title of this is "Not of This World." But the Bible says that the ruler of this world, there is a prince, and Satan is this world of darkness, Satan is in charge.
Whoa, here, preacher. What you talking about? God's in charge.
That's right. But Satan's in charge. It's kind of like my dog. When I take my dog for a walk, I keep him on a leash, her on a leash. And I got one of them leashes that's kind of cool. You hit the little button and the thing goes out and the dog wants to run around. It can run around as far as that little leash, but then I can zap it back. You know what I mean? So we go walking and the dog starts, come back here, boy. Come on back to that. We're going this way. And that's the kind of way Satan is. Satan's in charge. You can sniff around all you want, God says, but I got you on a string. But Satan's in charge. Don't believe me? Remember when Jesus was tempted? What did Satan say to Jesus? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give it to you, Jesus. I've got them. I'll give them to you. And so Jesus was tempted, in other words, to have his kingdom before it was time. And Satan says, I got it now. Hey, you want it now? Hey, I can give it to you now. Satan is in charge of this world, but the problem is this world is one of darkness. But the beautiful thing is that God, as it says in verse 9 and 10, by his mercy has bought us with his own precious blood. He's taken us out of darkness by dying on the cross and by our simple faith and trust in his blood and brought us into his marvelous life. So if Satan is in charge of this world, what's Jesus in charge of? Now, Jesus is in control. Don't misunderstand me. He's got Satan on string. But Satan's doing his thing now. But Jesus is going to have his kingdom in the future. This is our kingdom, the kingdom of light, which we belong to. We are not of this world. Praise the Lord. So now we get to our verses here. We want to really focus on verse 11. Peter calls us dearly beloved. We are dearly beloved by God. You got to get that. You are dearly loved. You who are full of sin, you and I, we are dearly beloved. Let that sink in. Dearly loved. We who are dearly beloved are there because of him. I don't know your background. Like I said, I've been here one time before. Now, I know some of you from camp, and I know a few familiar faces. But I don't know you. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I'm still over here. I'm not in this kingdom. I'm still in the kingdom of darkness. Yeah, I move around too much. So, punch it and it should turn green. There we go. So I used to be in the kingdom of darkness, but now I'm in the kingdom of light. By his grace and mercy, it's nothing that I've done. It's all because of his grace. What a Savior we have. And so we want to really focus now, we who are dearly beloved, with a couple of little nicknames that Peter gives us. This is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible because of these two nicknames. Because what this verse does is it really focuses us on who we are while we live in a foreign country. I'm from North Carolina. Georgia is not my home. South Carolina, I used to live in South Carolina for about 20 years. That is no longer my home. My driver's license will say North Carolina. My passport will say North Carolina. But even though it says North Carolina, even that is not my home. The Bible says that we are sojourners. Your Bible might say aliens. What does that mean? That means even though you're living here in Georgia or South Carolina, this, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, this is not your home. This is crucial, people. This is crucial. We have got to understand this, or we're going to float through life and we're going to miss God's call on our life. We're going to get sucked into the world's charms and all its temptations, and we're going to forget that this is not our home. We're going to miss it. We're going to get up in the morning, we're going to shave, we're going to eat breakfast, we're going to get in the car, we're going to go to school, we're going to go to work, we're going to work for 8 hours, we're going to come home, we're going to go to soccer practice, we're going to come home, do our homework, we're going to pay the bills, we're going to go to bed, we're going to get up in the morning, do the whole same thing again. And life will be gone. And we're going to get sucked into to all the trappings of this world, and we're going to forget that we belong to this world. This is big. I'm serious. This is big. We have got to understand who we are. We're just moving through. We don't belong here. We are not of this world. Our address says this, but this is not our home. Great songs that were picked today. Really focused in on that. And we'll talk about a couple of little phrases that were used, but our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Yeah, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. It's a wonderful pledge, and I'm glad to be a part of the United States. But this is not my home. You have got to get this. It changes your life if you think about who you are. We've been purchased. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. Someone has bought us. We belong to Jesus. We've been taken out of darkness into light. So, here in this world, what we got to understand is, it's not some North Carolinian speaking here in Georgia to this particular church. This is a believer speaking to believers and maybe some unbelievers, because this is my home, and this is your home if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. So, when you wake up in the morning, instead of just saying, oh, okay, what do I got to do today? All right, what do I got to do? All right, breakfast, thank you. All right, see you, honey. Okay. All right, got it. Yeah. And you go through, come home. Oh, okay. And then you do it all over again. And then life, all right, I got to go to this ball game. Got to hit a home run. And then and those things are all fun, and it's good. But if we forget who we are, we're going to miss it. While we're at the ball game, while we're at work, we got to remember who we are. It changes everything when you realize who you are. So we belong, our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. We belong to the kingdom of light while we live in this world of darkness. We've got to remember that. The second phrase, which really helps us to focus on who we are, the second nickname, is pilgrims. The thing about a pilgrim is that you just got a backpack on, and you're just moving on through. Hey, how y'all doing? Like today, I'm moving through. After this message, you know, I'm gonna shake a few hands, say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm gonna get in my car and I'm gone. I'm passing through. It was good to be in Georgia. Y'all be good. South Carolina, see you later. Moving on. I'm headed towards my temporary home in North Carolina, but my real home is in heaven. Rod Sharp, this afternoon, in a couple of hours at 2 o'clock, will be at the funeral. Well, he will have he's going to be speaking here at 3 at the funeral of his father-in-law, who was a World War II veteran, a POW in Germany in 1945, who passed away, a beloved brother in Christ. So at 3 o'clock, Brother Rod will be speaking at this funeral. A man has just left this world, Bill Folk, has left this world and gone on to home. He's gone home. That's what we call, he's home with the Lord, right? Home. This is not home. Home. The kingdom of light. We're passing through. Do not plant so deep of roots here on this earth that you got such roots here that you forget who you are. My grandmother always likes to say that she likes to have her hands empty. In other words, she's not clinging to things, and I've got to have this, and I love this, and I can't let go of that. He says, because if God wants me to do something, I need to have empty hands to be able to receive it. It's a good reminder. Don't clutch the things of this world, which are temporary. Sorry, I'm pointing up here. You know what? I'm looking at this thing. But are temporary. You're wondering what in the world I'm doing. Things are temporary, and we clutch on to these things, and we forget who we are, and we can't serve the Lord like we should. So we're just traveling. That's all we're doing here on this earth. I've been traveling for a certain amount of time. Some of you are older than me. You've been traveling for a while. Some are just maybe beginning your journey. We don't know when life's going to end for all of us, but we need to be realizing who we are. One of the greatest stories that's ever been written was Pilgrim's Progress. In that story, it is a the Bible is God's inspired word, ain't no doubt about it. Pilgrim's Progress was written by John Bunyan. But boy, it's got a lot of truth in it. In this story, John Bunyan really brings home the truth, God's inspired word. And in this story, he talks about how Christian and hopeful are on their way to the celestial city. And on this journey, it's a picture of two men walking through this temporary earth on their way towards heaven. And this celestial city is part of home, which is the kingdom of light, which is our real home. And so in this particular passage, that what we come to, chapter, Pilgrim and Hopeful are here, and John Bunyan writes these words. He says, "You will soon come to a town where you will be sorely tried by enemies of the truth, the kingdom of light, who will strive hard to put you to death. And they come to this place that's called Vanity Fair." And that's where the straight and narrow road took. I mean, you couldn't get off the path. I mean, you could, but you really couldn't. We're here on this earth, and we must live in this world. Some people want to have a little cocoon, and, you know, you want to stay away from people, and, you know, don't want to talk to the world, and da-da-da-da-da. We're here in this earth. God wants us in the earth to witness, to be a witness. We don't want to be, you know, protected. Come on, we're here to be a witness. We need to have unsaved friends. And so Pilgrim says, "Man, do I have to go through this thing?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Man, they're gonna try to kill us." Well, yeah, that's what the world does. The world hates us. Have you picked up that the world hates Christians? According to some, this is not a Christian nation anymore. And you look around, you could probably agree with a lot of it, can't you? You can see it, can't you? Not agree with the fact that we're going down to, but that you agree with that point, but that it is happening. Well, they come on to this, inside this Vanity Fair, and people are carrying on. And this is what John Bunyan wrote. He says, "The people of the town are vain. All they care about is money, pleasure, and fame. There's all kinds of things for sale here in Vanity Fair. There's houses, stocks, and bonds, nice clothes, fame, reputations, games, sex, prostitutes. You got gambling, thugs, murderers, adulteries, nightclubs, seductive shows, casinos, fashionable churches, which say nothing." He says, "You got anything you want." And we have to live in this world. We're not of this world. We belong up here. This is our home. But we got to live here. And there's lots of things that Satan, who is on a short leash, dangles in front of us. He says, "Come get you some. I got whatever you want. What you want? What's your pleasure?" Cool and the Gang would say. Come on and go ahead and enjoy. Go ahead and enjoy whatever you want. Well, as Christian and Hopeful walked through, everybody started asking, hey, come on, get this right here. Come on, fellas, where's your wives? You want some women? Hey, we got some back here in the back. Come on over here. Oh, man, look at your dress, man. What's wrong with you? And they could see that something was wrong with them. Man, you look a little funny, not weird like we're Martians. It's not what aliens means. We're not Martians. But they can see a difference. They saw a difference in these guys, the way they dressed, the way they spoke. They had no interest in their goods for sale, because they were traveling through. They weren't going to be here long. This is called time. This is called eternity. This is for a brief blip. This is forever. Blip, forever. Just passing through. And so Christian and Hopeful said, not interested. Well, that comes to the second part here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Now, not every fleshly desire is sinful. What you talking about? Well, I'm going to be hungry here in a little bit. My flesh is saying, hey, I'm a little bit hungry. Go ahead and get something to eat. You need it. When you exercise, I need a break. I need some water. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know what I'm talking about here. There are fleshly lusts that are sinful, that are selfish, that I got to have me some of that right there. Ain't nobody looking. I'm going to get me some. And it's sinful. Abstain! I mean, these are verses that you can't read like this. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. You cannot do that. It says, abstain! That means you're about to get hit by a train. Stay away. Abstain means, you know, speak to the hand. No. Or as Joseph did when Potiphar's wife came after him, what did he do? He ran. Abstain. Don't do it. The Bible says in James that we're tempted because we have lust. Lust that war against our soul. See, the problem is we who live in this world, who have been purchased by God, we are saved once we ask Jesus to be our Savior, but we still have an old sinful nature that says, go ahead and enjoy yourself. That's why Paul in Romans said, should we sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, no! You don't just go on sinning and say, Jesus got my back. Oh, that's covered under the blood. Yeah, that's under the blood too. Yeah. And so you go ahead and enjoy whatever you're going to enjoy. The Bible says, no! You abstain from that. The old nature is constantly at war. In fact, that's the next phrase. Let me see. Yeah, D.L. Moody, the great preacher, he said, you know who I'm worried about more than anything? He says, I'm worried about D.L. Moody. He said, man, I know there's all kinds of temptations in this world, but says, my goodness. Whew, old living with D.L. Moody is rough. Because he knew those old sinful desires. The phrase that, here they come, right? So they're back here at Vanity Fair, and this guy says, hey, man, I got whatever you want, man, whatever you want to have. Stocks, bonds, a new house, man, new furniture, nice cars. Hey, man, come on, get you some. Hey, where's y'all's wives? Y'all ain't with no women. Hey, I got some in the back, hey. And Christian and Hopeful had to say, we don't want nothing but the truth. No. And of course, if we were to go on in the story, they got thrown in jail. You see, oh man. So we got the old sinful nature. Man alive. Y'all, that's hard. I don't want to stand up here and have a mask on and say, yes, I'm the preacher for today. I got everything together in my life, and y'all need to be like me. You know, I struggle. And you do too. And that's why we love Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we worship Jesus. Because He has saved us. But when we're really honest, as we travel through this world, we've got to see that we are not only aliens, but we still struggle with an old nature. It doesn't go away when you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You still struggle. Paul says, all the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that don't do, those are the ones I do. And there was this struggle in Romans 7. Do you feel it too? Surely you do. I don't want us to be, we need to be honest. We need to be real. There's a struggle in our life. We want to live like we belong to the children of light, but doggone it, there's something inside of me that's, I'm drawn to that. I'm tempted. There's some of that that I want. And I want to grab hold of some of them things. And it won't hurt if I have one thing. It just won't hurt just to have one. And it's a struggle. The second thing is this joker. He's always after us too. And Satan has got that short leash, but he's always looking around and he's saying, you've asked Jesus to be your Savior? Well, I don't want you to live for Jesus. I'm going to tempt you with different things. Look at all the nice things that I have. Reputation. Whatever you want. I've got it right here. And he's always looking who he can devour. He loves to trip us up, folks. He loves to trip us up. Preacher, this is a pretty boring, this message, you ain't giving me no hope. I'm leaving out of here I'm depressed. It ain't over. Satan is after us. He's lying to us all the time. If you just do this, get in this relationship, you'll be happy. If you just get this job and this position in society, you won't want nothing else. Sports is where it's at. Get you one of these right here, scholarship, and da da da. Oh, you'll be the man on campus. Get anything you want. Not that scholarships are bad. But he lies and he says that's all you need. So not only is he looking to devour me, not only is he lying to me, but he's constantly tempting me. And the thing is, when I say no to Satan and I walk away, he'll be there the next day. He'll come from this angle. He always comes around at an opportune time for him, inopportune time for me. Satan loves to find where we're weak, and he comes for us. Have you noticed it? So we got this old sinful nature. We got this joker who's after us. Man, things ain't looking good. Well, the thing that's wrong about this, if you look at verse 11, is, and this is a key word, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Folks, we are in a war. We have got to get this. We are aliens. We are strangers. We belong in here, but we live here in this world. We got all these temptations, and it's a war. It means it's all the time. It does not say which battle against the soul. This is an ongoing, it's every day, it never ends, it will never end. We are in a war. If I was Winston Churchill and this is World War II, we'd be doing push-ups. Hitler is coming. We got somebody worse than Hitler. It's Satan. And really, if we'll be honest, our own sinful nature. We are in a war for the souls of this world. You know, in World War One, let's see, World War One, it was all about digging you a hole or a trench and shooting out of the trench. And basically, you just obliterated each other, and you didn't gain any land. I mean, basically, you fought over here, you fought over here, but you never got all this land. You gain this land, then you come over here and dig a hole, and then you come over here and dig a couple of holes, and then you come over here. And you just shot each other until you blew each other's brains out. And you just were in a trench all day long. It never ended. The people who get into war, especially in Civil War, World War One, I want to sign up. Hey, it's going to be a short war. I'm going to be a hero. Yeah, I want my picture taken with some medals. Yeah, I'm a soldier. And they, when they got in, they said, this ain't what I signed up for. This is a whole lot longer than what I thought. Great day. This ain't what I want. And a lot of Christians, supposed Christians, once they, you know, oh, Jesus sounds like he's a cool deal. But then when it gets tough, I'm out of here. I don't want to live for This is a war, people. If you don't know what you're getting into, you're going to be awfully surprised and tempted to leave. We are in a war. Galatians says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Constantly, every day, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is saying to me, Jeff, don't go over there. And the old flesh says, oh yeah, that's what you want to do. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't. You ain't part of this world. You're an alien. Oh, but you living in the old world still. Ah, go ahead and enjoy it. No, you're part of this world, the kingdom of light. Ah, but you living in the kingdom of darkness. Nah, but, and there's this struggle. You know what I'm talking about? So far, preacher, all you've been is negative. How am I supposed to get out of this? Well, how do you abstain? How do you do this? How do you say no? I know that's what I should do, but there's this struggle, and we are at war. So what do? Well, Galatians says it very simply. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? Well, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through His Word, doesn't He? You got to listen to Him. When the Bible, since we've talked about Joseph and Potiphar, right, that sexual temptation, let's stick with that one just for illustration purposes. What does the Bible say about sexual temptations? Job says it this way, in Job 31:1, he says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Well, there you go. The Holy Spirit has just spoke. You wanna walk in the flesh? You will go, whoa, 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 whoa. And all the thoughts that go through that brain. But to abstain is to acknowledge the temptation and say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Holy Spirit says, do not make a, you need to not focus on this. And Jesus said, you commit adultery when you lust, so I need, Jesus help me. Oh, Joseph ran, so I better get out of this situation. I better come over here. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to depend on Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. This is hard, Lord. You know I'm weak in this area. Help me, Lord. I need you. I'm weak. I can't do this on my own. I mean, I'm going to fail. If I don't, Lord, help me. You got to lean on it. Can I offer three other suggestions that will help us? The first one is, we need to know the Bible. What did Jesus, when he was tempted? Hey, Jesus, I know you say you got a kingdom that's not of this world. Hey, I give you all the kingdoms right now. You want them? And what did Jesus say? Satan, it is written. Next temptation, Satan, it is written. Three times, Satan, it is written. We must know this book. We must. We must. Otherwise, you're going to cave in. This is the Holy Spirit talking to us, and He'll, in His still small voice, will bring up verses and say, okay. don't lust after. Okay. And you go a separate direction. But we got to know our Bible. The second thing, which may be of help for you, is to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, what do you think about? What do I think about when I'm trying to go to sleep at night? What goes through my brain? Is it things that are pleasing to the Lord? Or is it things that should not be there? Renew your mind. What are you filling it with when you put on the headphones, when you have the flipper in your hands? What is going through our mind? Renew your mind. Be very careful with what you think about. Know the Scriptures. Renew your mind. And don't make it easy to sin. Be careful of situations where you know you're going to fall. Get away. Know where you're weak. Realize that Satan's after you, that the old sinful nature is wanting to go after it. You got to get away. Don't put yourself in those situations. It makes it so much easier to sin when you're in a bad situation. So let's quick review right before we close. I'm not done. I know the clock says I better be done, and I will be done. We are dearly beloved. God loves us very much. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. As a result, our citizenship is not on this world, it's in heaven. Therefore, while we live over here, we're just walking through temporarily. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims. As a result, Satan is trying to get us. The old nature is trying to get us. We must abstain. We are in a war, not a battle. That means when you leave home today, you put on the armor of God every day because you are in a constant battle. This, guys, is all about making a decision. You have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. We need to pray for each other, don't we? I'm weak. So are you. We're all weak. That's why we love Jesus. That's why we love Him. When we are weak, then He is strong. We need to pray for each other as we go out into the battlefields of life. It's a decision that you make. As we close, again, I don't know you. I've been speaking to Christians for the most part. I want to end with this. If you were here for the Sunday school, I just touched on it briefly. 100 years ago, last night, the Titanic hit an iceberg. And at 2:20 this morning, the Titanic sank, killing 1,500 people. It's a story that probably will never lose its interest and curiosity. I personally love the story. It's one of my favorite historical stories. What's so fascinating about the Titanic is not so much the ship, although that is part of it. But the fascinating thing about the Titanic is the decisions that were made with 2 hours and 40 minutes left of life, possibly. For some, the decisions that were made on board, what do you do when you have 2 hours to live? It's fascinating, the decisions that were made. Mr. and Ms. Strauss were co-owners of Macy's department stores. The cry went out for women and children to get into the lifeboats. They came up to Mrs. Strauss and they said, "Ma'am, we're here to put you in a lifeboat." She was a first-class passenger, paid big bucks, worth a lot of money. She looked at the lifeboat, looked at her husband, said, "I'm not going to get into the lifeboat. I've lived my whole entire life with you.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, however long that may be. Thank you for your invite. I don't want it. Other people looked at the flimsy lifeboat and said, flimsy lifeboat, big Titanic. Cold, windy, nice, warm, comfy. Didn't realize that this is called a lifeboat. And this boat was going down. When the 1,500 passengers that died, when it came time for, you know, we had to figure out who lived and who died, there was a lot of speculation. Back in England, at the White Star headquarters, news came out one by one of the passengers, and they had, let's say this is the door. So on this side, they had a big sign that says, known to be saved. And on this side, it said, known to be lost. And whenever they heard inside from the telegraph wires, so they get, okay, all right, oh, okay, saved, okay. So then they'd come out and they'd show the people. There was a hush over every person as they would look and see if that was their relative. All right, got the name? Got it. And then they'd put it on the known to be saved or known to be lost side. The two most famous ships in all the world, one is the Titanic and one is the Ark. One was a vessel that sank and has a watery grave. Many people died. The Ark, if you were in it, you were safe. If you were not in it, you were lost. You might be here today. You're in either one of those two ships. You're either in the Ark, known to be saved, the kingdom of light, or you're in the Titanic, known to be lost, the kingdom of this world. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. You are dearly beloved, but you've got a decision to make. Do you want to get in the Ark, or are you going to stay in the Titanic? People looked at the Ark and they laughed. They chose to stay in the Titanic because it looked so safe. This world has so many allures, and people say, ah, I don't want to give up all these things. And yet, you're gaining heaven, Jesus, peace, security, life everlasting, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. Make that decision today before you leave. It's a war out there, and you might be on the side of Satan. Don't even know it. You got snookered. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've given in to them temptations. Hey, come get you some. Come get you some. And I went and got me some. And I've done a lot. I've got a lot of that. And I've blown it. And I need forgiveness. And Jesus says, come unto me. I took all your sins on the cross, and I spilled my blood for you. Put your faith and trust in me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. You can do that right now as you speak, as you sit and I speak. So, guys, we've got some decisions to make, don't we? Are we going to live like aliens and strangers, or are we going to live like the world? Let's pray for each other and encourage each other and focus our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we confess that it's a war, and I've got a lot of bullet holes in me. A lot of them are self-inflicted. But Satan, he's after me. He's shooting bullets at me. Lord, I'm riddled. It's a war. But Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And just because of your grace and mercy, Lord, that you died for me. That's all. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you gave so much. Help us to learn to give our life to you. It's not easy, Lord. It's hard. The battle is long, and we get weary. Lord, may we encourage each other here at this local church. May we pray for each other here at this local church. May we be encouragers here. May this be a congregation, Lord, and that when we come here, it's like a hospital. We've been wounded. And we come here to encourage each other to continue on in the fight. Thank you for your word, the Holy Spirit. Without him, we can do nothing. Lord, I want to pray for that person who might be here that's not saved, who is thinking about getting off the Titanic and into the ark. May they do that today, Lord. Give them the courage to do that. So, Lord, we're leaving now this little building and we're going out into the world. Help us to make good decisions for you. In Jesus' name, amen.